Carolina Hurricanes season came to an end Wednesday. We do not start the Stanley Cup Finals until Saturday. The Florida Panthers will sit around for, not sitting around, I'm sure they're practicing, 9 days between games. That is not good for anybody. But the NHL was at the mercy of the Western Conference Finals and, to an extent, the NBA Finals, which has tons of days between games. There's only two games that are separated by just one day off in the NBA Finals. The games 3 and 4 will be played on, I believe it's Wednesday and Friday in Miami. Everything else has 2 days off in between games. Incredible. There'll be a lot of rest in the NBA Finals, which is fine. NHL doesn't generally play that. Anyway, we were hoping the Hurricanes could get there, but they did not. Got swept by the Florida Panthers in the closest sweep I have ever seen, but it was a sweep nonetheless. And how does Carolina go forward on this? I will say this. There's obviously no way that Jordan Staal won't be part of this team next year. And if it was up to me, the second order of business of the free agents this year is a no-brainer. Jesper Fast must be on this team. Let me bring in my friend Corey Lavalette, North State Journal, and The Athletic, who joins us on The Adam Gold Show. Would you concur that Jesper Fast must be part of this group?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a kind of a no-brainer. It's not like he's going to break the bank, and maybe a little bit of a raise. I don't know if, you know, his playoff performance is going to make somebody do something stupid and give him a whole bunch of money. But,
right.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a good fit. The question becomes is, you know, where does Jordan Staal fit in this lineup going forward? Does he slide into more of a fourth-line center role? Does he stay as a third-line center? And where does Jesper Fast fit if he's going to play alongside Jordan, which I think is what we should assume will happen, at least in the regular season.
Corey Lavalette is joining us here, and you know, Corey is around the team more than I am, and still is falling into the trap of numbering the lines. If the head coach is listening, Corey, he's not going to be very happy. Jordan, I mean, he's sort of the identity line. Staal, Fast, Martinook, right? To what the Islanders have done with, you know, Clutterbuck, Cizikas, and Martin, right?
An identity line that's actually good, yeah.
Well done, Corey Lavalette, North State Journal and The Athletic, at Corey Lav on Twitter. Assuming that, yeah, I don't think, I mean, you have to assume that Staal's probably, you know, pretty close to half of what he got paid in the last 10 years, $6 million a year, right?
Yeah, I think three or three and a half seems like it makes sense. I don't know if Tom Dundon's not an overly sentimental type when it comes to giving out contracts, so maybe somewhere else he gets a little more, but I think they get it done. I don't think it's going to be that big of a problem. You know, it's, you know, he wants to be here. They want him here. Obviously, the coach, I don't know if the coach could go on without him.
No.
So I think it gets worked out pretty easily.
Odds that Max Pacioretty is back here on a one-year deal?
I feel like that's probably going to happen. I mean, he hung around the team all season long, even after the second Achilles tear. The big question becomes, you know, what's the number at? And, you know, I've seen some of those prognosticators who try to guess what contracts are going to be worth, and it's shown up in like the $1.5 million range. And if it's that much, then it's, you know, it's a no-brainer. That's pretty much the risk you took on Andre Kasha last year, right?
Right.
Knowing that, and he did, that he could, you know, be off the team in any second. So there's no real harm in trying to do that and keeping him around, I don't think. I just don't know that you can rely on him to be a big addition. It's more anything you get out of him will be gravy.
Corey Lavalette, North State Journal and The Athletic. All right, where do you feel like this team fell short of winning any of the games against Florida, which all could have gone either way? I do think that Florida was the better team, but I think any of the games could have gone either way. Where do they fall short? And is it as simple as they didn't have Svechnikov and Pacioretty?
I mean, that's certainly part of it. I mean, you would have liked to have seen the power play come through in a couple opportunities when it didn't. Though I think overall the power play was okay in the playoffs.
Yeah.
at times it was good, at times it wasn't. It didn't feel like it was ever the reason they lost, unlike sometimes during the regular season. So, there were some opportunities there where they could have, scored on the power play and they didn't. You know, Seth Jarvis hitting the post in game one comes to mind. That's not a situation where you've done something wrong and it didn't work out. It's just, he gets a chance, he hits the post. He probably thinks about it for the offseason and comes back and is better because of it. So, I mean, that kind of jumps out to me. But certainly you miss Svechnikov. You miss his physicality, I think, more than anything. Because that was definitely something they didn't have a whole lot of in the lineup.
Corey Lavallette is with us here. Hurricanes, the business for next year starts now. So if you were making a list of priorities for Don Waddell and company in this offseason, we already talked about Staal and Faust. What is priority one for you?
I think if you have to hammer out an extension with Sebastian Aho, I don't think they're going to go into this season with his contract expiring and let him potentially walk away for nothing. So I think that's like the Staal deal. I think, everyone wants to get worried about it because of what happened last time around with his contract. But, I don't think he's looking at $10 million a year or anything here. And given what he makes now, he makes just shy of $8.5 million. If he gets $1 million raise, the bigger thing might be, how long is the contract? Are the Hurricanes willing to commit to 8 years? Does Sebastian even want to commit to 8 years? Would he rather be a free agent again at 30? So I think that's your number one thing is figuring that out. And then, you have other guys with 1 year left on their deals that you have to think about. You got to think about what's the future of the defense with Brady Shea and Brett Pesce. Are you going to keep both of them this year and let them both walk to free agency, or try to sign one of them or trade one of them? Or there's a lot that could be done here, especially with the amount of cap space they have.
They do have among the leaders in available cap space, and there are a lot of players who already have contracts for next year, so they are in a good spot, except they're looking at the cap the following year when they have so much business that has to get done. Before we get to goaltending, Corey Lavallette is here. Let me address two quick things that they don't have to do, but they probably should do, or at least try to do, this offseason. You mentioned Sebastian Aho, and I agree. That is job one, because I feel like he is the first piece that must be in place for you going forward. Jalen Chatfield is making a league minimum contract next season. I think we both agree that he should be part of the defensive core going forward, whether it's in his current role as a third pair defenseman, or we've seen him play up, and he has been very effective playing up. Would you like to see them sign him to a long-term contract now?
Well, yeah, and I mean, that goes back to the whole idea of Brady Shea and Brett Pesce. If you're not going to keep both these guys and thinking the way the Hurricanes think, those are guys who are closing in on 30 now, and that's not something they generally like to do too much. Is Jalen Chatfield even ready for a top-four role next year? So if you do decide to pull the trigger and let's say you trade Brett Pesce, and I don't think anybody wants to see Brett go because he's been a big part of everything this team has done. And obviously he's really kind of a bedrock of their defensive efforts there. But, we always have to think long term. Now, at the same time, he's only a year older than Jalen Chatfield. So a year younger, rather, or a year older than Jalen Chatfield.
Right.
So, it's all going to come down to that. The good news on Jalen Chatfield is even if you do get him signed to an extension, it's not going to be $4 million or maybe even $3 million. If you can get him signed now before he hits free agency, maybe there's a chance to lock him in at a cheap deal.
Oh, I think there's every opportunity. He loves it here. This is the place he really got an opportunity to play. And I think you and I probably agree there. There's some offensive upside with him, especially in the system that Rod Brind'Amour employs. What do you do with Seth Jarvis? Do you try to get ahead of it like they didn't get they didn't really do with Aho because of the negotiation not working out? By the way, same agent, Jerry Johansson is the agent for Sebastian Aho and Seth Jarvis. Do you get ahead of Seth and try to go long term?
You know, I asked him just that. I said, Kotkaniemi signed the big extension. Is that something you're interested in? And he actually said to me, we got to get Fishy signed first. So even within his own agency, he's number two on the to-do list for the offseason. Yeah, I mean, I think, everyone's going to look at the numbers and say he took a step back this year. I think he took a huge step forward.
I agree.
Just became a really magnificent two-way player. Says he plans to get stronger so he doesn't get pushed around as much. You saw that little reverse hit he had on Radko Gudas in the Florida series. He's not afraid to throw the body and be physical and go to hard places. He's the kind of guy to me that should be a centerpiece of the organization going forward. And man, he's just 21. And I think he's going to be a star in this league. And if you can find a way to tie him down now before he has that big breakout season that I think is coming, that could be huge for the future of, the Hurricanes cap situation and the franchise as a whole.
Yeah. Your point is one I absolutely share in that the numbers didn't improve, but Seth improved greatly. I thought he was, he wasn't their best forward in the postseason, but he might have been one of their best two or three forwards in the postseason just for the way he played and how he impacted the game. All right, would you try to sign Martin Natchez? Would you try to just make him play a prove-it season, or would you take that contract and that value and try to parlay him into a legit number two center who could play really good, heavy top 6 minutes in your forward line?
Yeah, I mean, I think the options are all there, like you said. I'm not sure that signing him will be a priority just because he'll have arbitration rights. That makes things a little stickier because he'll have a little bit of leverage after next year. So to me, I think that probably the plan would be to let him play out this year and see where he's at. But to your point, he's never going to have higher value than he has right now because of the season he had and because of the number he has on his, on his spreadsheet right now. Yep. $3 million. That's a bargain for the Hurricanes. Don't get me wrong, but that's also going to be a bargain for a team that is in a cap crunch. That's like, well, maybe we can swap player X that makes $6 million for Natchez at $3 million. You look around the league, you look at teams like Toronto that could be making a big change. If they said, we want to make William Nylander part of a package for Martin Natchez. Natchez is a dynamic player. William Nylander is a point-per-game player. But there's risk involved in all that, obviously. There's not a contract beyond next year. But I love guys like Travis Konecny, and I don't know that center has to be the priority. I think you and I diverge on this a little bit on how good Jesperi Kotkaniemi is going to be. I think he had a good half of the second year, and I think you give that one more shot. I think Martin Natchez's value is never going to be higher. So if you don't see him in that same Seth Jarvis mold as this is a guy we have to go forward with and we can't win without, you have to at least look around. I mean, they used him last year and looked around. The guy who carried the Panthers, at least up front, into the Stanley Cup Finals was – the guy that was Martin Natchez was dangled for. So, we'll see what happens with Natchez, but good year for him. And if he does come back and plays, it's on a great deal.
Oh, and that's what you and I both know the organization pretty well. They love value contracts, which is why Jalen Chatfield is going to be part of this team going forward. And honestly, why Martin Natchez was never going to move. Unless it was in a blockbuster, and I don't think they'd move him now unless it's in a blockbuster deal, because at the very least, Natchez is going to be worth 60 points at $3 million per, and that is incredible value for that type of player. The first three quarters of the season for Natchez were spectacular. It's the end of the regular season and the postseason that everybody is surprised at or disappointed at. I was frankly shocked that in the Athletic, Corey, when they did the worst players of the postseason, that it was Jesse Puljujarvi, who I don't know what anybody's expectations were for Puljujarvi. He is what we thought he was. Natchez was the guy who was really disappointing for me in the postseason. But I look at him and I say, if he just gets stronger and plays with just a little bit more determination in the middle of the ice, that could be that's a guy that could be game changing.
Yeah, and you know, I don't think anybody missed Andrei Svechnikov more than Martin Natchez, because they played together a lot. Svechnikov creates a ton of space on the ice.
Yeah.
I mean, just because of his skill, because he's not only a threat to shoot, but to pass, and then his physicality. And that's where the drop-off happened to me, is Svech went down, and Natchez kind of, you know, unless he was playing three-on-three when, you know, he can use skating and there's a lot of space out there, there just wasn't a lot of space for him to do a lot of damage on the perimeter. And Puljujarvi, I mean, we'll see what happens with all that. But obviously, that was a, you know, shot in the dark that didn't work out.
Right. All right. I agree. And honestly, I could see them bringing him back on a prove it deal, you know, $1 million, $1.5 million, and have no problem moving on from him if they had to. Final thing very quickly, Frederik Andersen or Antti Raanta or somebody else to pair with Pyotr Kochetkov next season.
I think it comes down to what the numbers are. You can afford to give Frederik Andersen the same contract he just had, at least dollar wise. You know, $4.5 million is not going to be too much
right.
to give him, and it gives Kochetkov a season to ease into being a full time NHL guy. Kochetkov's the future, I think. I don't think there's any doubt about that. So you're not going to go and bring in somebody like Tristan Jarry, who's going to want multiple years or whatever. And there's not a great market of guys out there. You know, if you believe Kochetkov could play 50 games, then maybe you look at a guy like Semyon Varlamov, who helped usher Ilya Sorokin right. into a number one role. But that's not a guy who's going to play 40 games himself. And that's the question for me with Antti Raanta too, is he really kind of maxes out at 30. And can you count on Kochetkov to play 52 if he's playing 30?
Right.
So I think, you know, you see what's out there, you know, you see what's out there for Andersen from other teams. He probably boosted his value a little bit with his postseason. But I think a priority also has to be a really legitimate number three goalie. They were fortunate to have Kochetkov this year to jump in. You're going to need to go get an Alex Lyon type to, you know, be able to play if Andersen goes down and you're down to just Kochetkov.
Yeah, nobody's bullish on Yanni Peretz. I like the kid from Quinnipiac. We'll see if he has some sort of a future 2-year entry level deal. Corey Laviolette.
A little early.
Huh?
Early.
Maybe a little early. But I mean, he doesn't give up goals, and that's kind of a good thing. Corey Laviolette, I'll talk to you again because this is what we do.
Yes, sir.
The new Chevy Silverado HD puts you in command. Own strength with its enhanced available Duramax 6.6 liter turbo diesel V8. Own the lake with its available advanced towing technology. And own technology with an available 13.4-inch diagonal touchscreen. The new Chevy Silverado HD. Own work, own play, own life. Learn more at Chevy.com. Find new roads. Chevrolet.